americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Okay, perfect.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio again. And as I take advantage of this because I own the station, so I get to do it. Dr. George, do you remember when I did it with you when you first started the show? Okay. Anyway, I'm very proud that we have a new show starting today. We have Michelle Molyneux on, and she's from Vancouver, and she has a guest on. The show is going to be classic in that it's called Cool Projects. And in talking to Michelle, Michelle was on one of our other shows and telling us about her business, which is, and I got, before Dr. George leaves, I got, have you ever heard of a lady that buys and restores bridges? That's the kind of, this is going to be the kind of show that we're going to do. And Michelle, welcome to America's Web Radio. And at this point, I'm going to turn your show over to you and just thank you for deciding to join us.
Good morning, David, and thank you so much. And good morning to everyone, and welcome to our new show, and it's called Cool Projects, and that's spelled with a K, not with a C. And I'm going to be your host for the next while, and we're going to be covering various projects, whether it's home renovation, car restoration, construction, heritage sites. It could be works of art or do-it-yourself projects from around the world. And this is going to be a place where people can showcase their projects and share with you their experiences and what they do with their projects. This morning is an exciting morning. We're going to talk to Zoltan Bod. And Bod, who is based in Vancouver, British Columbia, is a Canadian self-proclaimed car and performance nut. And I've actually met him, and he's an amazing person and has an amazing chicken coop garage full of amazing projects. He's been building and restoring cars for years and decided to channel his energy towards creating a car that is both exciting and energy efficient. So I'd like to welcome Zoltan and in introducing us to his new Zoloco car. Good morning, Zoltan. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Great.
Yes.
What I wanted to do was just do a quick introduction and tell us about who you are and your background, please.
Well, my name is Zoltan Bod. Like you say, I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia. I began restoring cars in 1980, I guess at the age of 23, and I've always loved working with my hands to create, to recreate the classics, making them better than new. And then, as a result of that, I, one of my early projects at the age of 14 was I made this go-kart trike arrangement. I had a lot of fun ripping around the family farm with it after my chores were done and stuff like that. And then that led to my my second project, which was a 1950 Austin pickup that was classified as a radical custom rod. I built that between 1975 and 1978. And I basically used dishwashing money and pizza delivery and working part-time at an auto parts sales store to fund the project. And in 1979, when it was completed, I took it to a Vancouver, British Columbia car show where they classified it with that radical custom rod pickup name, and got a first place trophy. So it was pretty exciting, and everybody thought it was so unique because it was very different from everybody else's street rod projects of the time. And I took an old house that was a 1935 vintage house and did a complete reno restoration on that. It took me about 7 years. That was sort of a bit of a sidetrack to my automotive stuff.
Have you done house building before, or?
Well, I did the house. That was done in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was done quite a while after my initial automotive projects were.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then your other projects that you were saying?
Yes, I was working at the auto parts store, and my Austin pickup was finished, and I had it parked out front all the time, and then people would walk in there, buying parts for their car projects or whatever, and they'd ask me about the car, and I'd tell them all about it, and then they'd say, some people would say, well, would you be interested in doing something like that for me? Like, I'd need a paint job and stuff like that. So I said, sure. So then I started, basically that's how I ended up getting into the restorations. And then I think the first car that I restored was a 1967 Mustang, and that was complete rotisserie restoration. It took about a year to do. And then the next one was a 1966 Thunderbird, and then I did a 1952 Austin panel, which was a custom creation. It's the big wide tires in the back and skinny ones in the front type of thing. And then I did a 1934 Nash Lafayette Coupe. It was done in a polished acrylic enamel, just a beautiful looking old car. And then I did a 69 Camaro, a 1979 Honda Civic IMSA style custom, which was a basically one of my first creations where I did a whole bunch of customization to this car in an IMSA style format where you could run really big tires on it. And then I did a 1959 Chevrolet Apache pickup. I did a 1967 Firebird and a 1970 Mustang Mach 1. I did a 1964 Fairlane Sport Coupe. I did a 1968 Plymouth GTX, which is quite a popular car on the show circuit right now. I did a 1974 Camaro. The list goes on. I did quite a few cars. I've got about 42 years of restoration experience.
Right. And how long does some of these car projects take? I know it sounds like a lot of work is involved. So what's sort of like the timeline from start to finish for some of these projects?
The average restoration takes about 1,000 hours. I mean, there are people that are doing things called, they're building cars for their Riddler Award, which I've never done that. But those cars, would they'd go 10 to 12 times as many hours because they'd go into very fine details, but the average restoration takes about between 1,000 and 2,000 hours, depending on the condition of the car.
Mm-hmm. And how much would you say a normal restoration project would cost? I know we'll talk about the Zoleco car in a moment, but for regular restoration projects on cars, would you say it was approximately?
Your every other word is disappearing on you there.
Oh, I was just asking how much would an average cost for a car restoration would be?
Well, that depends on the shop rates. I mean, most automotive restoration shops right now are probably charging something like $80 an hour, so it's $80,000 would be a general rule for a complete restoration. That's labor only. And then all the parts and stuff that need to be into the project go on top of that.
Wow.
Okay, it's not
it's definitely not a cheap hobby.
No, and it doesn't much matter whether you're doing a Rolls Royce or a Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, the time to do the job is still the same. So, and depending on what you're doing, if you're doing it to get money returned, sometimes it's a difficult thing because the cars have the value that you're spending on it.
Yeah. So let's talk about your latest project, the Zoleco car. And can you just give me a little bit of history behind this car and the concept in regards to this car?
Well, I've always been really creative. So I was doing all these restorations and making these cars better than new and stuff like that. And then I got to the point where I've always wanted to build my own car. And then back in 2007, I was motivated in part by the automotive XPRIZE competition where they would take a purpose-built cars and try to get at least 100 miles per gallon. If your car was capable of getting 100 miles per gallon, you could compete in the competition for prize money. First prize was in the automotive section was, I think, $5 million that you could use to further develop your car. And so they have to go through a whole bunch of stringent testing and in the competition for, fuel mileage was one of them. And the other thing was the reliability. It had to be able to do, drive certain distances without any kind of problems. And as a result of that competition, I thought, okay, well, I guess now's a good time to start. And at first I thought I might get into that competition, but of course I didn't realize just what I was getting myself into, where I didn't quite have the funding or the time to be able to build the car in that short a time, but I started going on it anyways, and I came up with the concept basically by I started doing all sorts of research And I realized that when I was doing the human-powered research, that if you take a bicycle that people normally ride around, and if you streamline it and make it recumbent, how much major reduction there is in energy required to make you pedal the thing down the road. So then I used that information and started to apply it towards my car design.
Oh, wonderful. And with your car design, you know, you and I had talked about the history behind the aerodynamics of cars. Can you tell me just a little bit about that?
Right. Well, through my aerodynamic research, I came across a Hungarian-born engineer by the name of Paul Jarret, and he was around in 1920. And he was taking old cars and streamlining them and stuff like that. And then he actually started building his own very futuristic-looking cars back in the day. And he discovered that and basically verified that, you know, with the streamlining, the benefits are dramatic. I mean, it goes way faster. It had way more top speed than it did before. And it used less fuel and all this kind of stuff. But really, he had a tough time taking it anywhere because the people of the time, they would look at it, and the car was kind of odd-looking compared to the old horse and buggy, and they really had a hard time accepting it, so it never really went anywhere. But if you if you research him, you can see all the different cars he had. They were, like, way ahead of their time. It's sort of like the old Studebakers from 1957, I think it is. They were really streamlined as well. And I guess people have a difficult time accepting different-looking vehicles, but in order for it to be aerodynamic, it needs to have that particular shape, and then you can alter its appearance, you know, by doing subtle changes to it, as long as it has that general concept shape.
Right. And now, so this is how you came up with the idea with the Zoleco car.
Well, it was, I've always been in, yes, basically, I've always been intrigued with, high gas mileage. I mean, I had always played around with carburetors and fine-tuning them and stuff like that. And I actually had a 1985 Chevette that when I originally purchased it was getting 37 miles to gallon. And when I was finished playing around with the carburetor, it was, and fine-tuning it, I got it up to 52 miles per gallon, I think it is. And it's always exciting to be able to do more than the general manufacturers are doing for you.
Right, right. And you're very much big on fuel, saving off fuel, and, the concept of this car is to be more fuel efficient.
That's right.
Right. Okay, so tell me just very briefly about... We'll talk a little bit more about the process, about the design of the car.
Mm-hmm.
But can you describe the shape and the design that you've done? And then what we'll do is when we do break for the next segment, we'll talk more about your design process.
Okay. Well, and through my research, I discovered that, if you have to take nature, you follow nature's cues, and if you take a dolphin or a shark or a fish, they're shaped basically like a teardrop, and it reduces the amount of drag associated with moving it through the fluid. Now, in a fish's case, that fluid is water, which is about eight times as thick as air. So,
yeah.
any kind of benefits that you achieve from streamlining really show up in the water, and it translates into the air as well. Because in the air, like in a car's case, for example, the faster you go, the more effect that the streamlining does have on it.
Yeah. So what we'll do, we'll actually break right now, and we'll be back with our sponsors after this moment, and we'll continue our talk with Zoltan and the Zoltkeko car.
Quick Stakes, that's Q-U-I-K Stakes, are not just for surveyors. They are great for family and community gardens. Go online to www.quickstake.com or contact your local land surveying supply dealer and get you a box of Quick Stakes. You'll love them every year when you plant your garden. Again, that's Quick Stakes, Q-U-I-K Stakes, the truly preferred way to stake and identify what's in your garden now.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
This is Daryl Pullis inviting you to listen to America's Homegrown Veggie Show right here every Saturday morning at 10 Eastern Time. Great guests, great tips, and valuable information about growing your own vegetables, fruits, and herbs.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, and thank you from our sponsors. I have on the show today Zoltan, who has designed and built a concept car. It's a three-wheeled, tadpole-shaped concept car. Welcome back, Zoltan. You were actually explaining the whole design concept of the car and the shape. Again, can you just recap why you did design that tadpole shape of the car?
Well, I used throughout all of my aerodynamic research, I used the I discovered that nature is a really good example to follow. So, if you take dolphins and sharks and fish and look at the shape that they are and how quickly they can scoot along through the water, it's very important. So that's where the basic tadpole shape comes from, and it's that's basically where I ended up with coming with that shape. So then you take that, you just take a piece of paper and you draw a teardrop shape, and then you go, okay, now I'm going to make a car out of this somehow and be able to sit four people in there. So I did a whole bunch of drawings, and then I just a perfect teardrop, but of course that makes kind of an ugly looking car. So then you start doing subtle changes to it, still being loyal to the shape, the general shape of it. And then you take those drawings, and I made a little scale model out of carved piece of foam and sanded it and painted it and held, and then I can hold it in my hand and get a really good 3D representation of what the thing is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, that's when I started looking towards actually building the full size car.
And the size of the car, just looking at the pictures, and you can go to coolprojects.com to see the progress of this amazing car. The size of the car, what made you decide the size of the car? I mean, and how many people does it fit in the car?
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of fuel mileage competitions, you know, that universities do, and it's all about getting ultimate fuel mileage. They're trying to get thousands of miles per gallon by having these engines go on and off and all this kind of stuff. But they're extremely aerodynamic, where you're lying down in these things, and you got a periscope to look out of in order to get the aerodynamics extremely high. Well, in my case, it's all about trying to combine the two and make the car practical. So So what I did was I took a donor car and cut it all apart and started shaping the tadpole shape, and I still wanted to have four people in there. So I would sit in the actual car that I was cutting apart and to get a good feel of the ergonomics of it. And then I started laying out all the shape of the car around all that. And then so when you actually get to the point where you have a finished product, you know exactly where it's at because you were actually sitting in it along the way, as opposed to if you were doing something on a computer program. And, yeah.
And, you know, did you have help in building the car as well?
Not really. I've got quite a few friends that are, you know, interested in it, and they come by and they motivate me on it and stuff like that. But most of my other friends basically think I'm crazy attempting to do something like this. They just don't understand what it's all about. And let me tell you, it takes a lot of motivation, and that's my passion that drives me. It's just I have something to prove here. It's definitely a purpose-built car. I didn't just design this car to look strange. It ends up looking unusual because of the shape that it needs to be, which
right,
is a totally different concept that normally, because people would take a piece of paper and they try to make the car look real pretty or whatever they do, and that's their purpose. My purpose is to have extremely reduced energy consumption, so you have to have a particular shape, and then you use that shape and try to make it look as good as you can, and that's what I've done.
Right. What is the energy consumption that you foresee for this car?
Well, through the research that I've done on different aspects of teardrop shaping and streamlining cars, the fuel mileage can increase up to 80%. So it's dramatic. I mean, it's like I was talking about earlier on the bicycle. When you take it and streamline it and make it recumbent, I mean, these guys are producing phenomenal speeds the human being only has maximum of 1 horsepower available, and that's only for a certain length of time due to fatigue. So some of these recumbent streamlined bikes are really going fast for considering it's got less than 1 horsepower in it. So it's quite a big change.
Right. You had mentioned when we were talking earlier, you have some students also be with you in regards to this car. Where were these students from?
The Illinois Business College, the university in Chicago, Illinois, actually got a hold of me. We got together there was a guy online that saw my car, and he was a graduate from this school, a business graduate. We got together, and the university basically got, I think there was about half a dozen students that their semester program was to help me develop, do a bunch of online research and develop a business plan for the car, which was quite exciting. We went through that. We did quite a few phone interviews and stuff like that. And then once their segment was done, they actually flew the kids out to my chicken barn, and we had a meeting, and they all got to sit in the car, and we talked about it, and it was quite interesting. Yeah, they do a lot of things like that. And I was quite amazed that they would send them all the way from Chicago, but they did.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And basically, how many hours have you spent so far on this amazing project?
Currently, it's at I've just about 2,000 hours. I'm just under 2,000 hours right now.
Wow, that's amazing. And what are the next steps for the car, and what phase is it at right now?
Well, right now, I am basically the part of the car I'm doing right now is like, it's called the concept car. So now it's like a full size development model, and the concept phase of the project is 27% developed right now. Now, to complete the concept car, it requires another 37% of my time out of the 100% that it would take to complete the complete project. Now, the final step of the build will be the proof of concept prototype, which is like building another car, but I'm using the concept car the concept car gets molds and stuff made off of it so that I can replicate numerous bodies out of those molds, and the first body, of course, will be the proof of concept prototype, mm-hmm. which will be used for all the testing purposes, and that prototype is the final 35% of the project. So right now I'm 27% into it, and there is still the remaining percentages to go, which adds up to approximately 4,000 hours remaining. So like I mentioned earlier about the restoration project, like you take on a restoration, it's quite a big job for most people, especially if they're involved hands-on themselves. So if you take a 1,000-hour project, now I've got a project here that is basically going to be running about 6,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be restoring, you could do 6 complete rotisserie restorations on 6 different cars in the length of time it takes me to build one. But so that's where this project is kind of involved.
It is very involved. It's a lot of work involved. And how do you envision the future of cars and how the Zoleco car will fit into the future of cars?
Well, my vision is to use the prototype to shock and awe people into realizing the importance of energy efficiency in a purpose-built car, and, you know, as a result of that, reducing our wasteful use of energy consumption. I mean, in so doing, I plan at first in offering the Zeleco in a kit format so that your skilled home hobbyist can actually buy one of my kits and join me in my quest.
And, well, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Well, and how much would you... Sorry?
Pardon me? Pardon?
No, I was just going to ask you that. And how much would you sell these kits for? Have you
well,
sold them
they,
for?
Yeah, well, when the college students did the we did the program, the we come up with a price around just under $20,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not bad for a four-seater car that's fuel efficient. And how
yeah.
do you envision the future of transportation? It's changing rapidly. And how do you envision the future of transportation and fuel efficiency?
Well, I think that you know, the future vehicles, that people have to realize that you can't just, you know, keep adding more and more horsepower to the car to go faster and faster. I think what needs to be done is the cars need to be built so that they can use as little energy as possible to go as fast as possible instead of just adding power to it and with a blatant disregard for energy consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a difficult thing to do because, you know, it's a lot easier just to add a lot of power and go faster than it is to consider both the amount of energy you're using and the amount of power you're putting in. So,
right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going back to the other things with your car as well. Is there's a lot of when I took a look at your concept car, you have a lot of windows as well for the car.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a lot of visual. Okay.
Yeah, well, when I was sitting in that donor car that I call it, when I first started to lay out the general format for the car, you know, I look at a lot of these exotic cars and different cars that are on the market, and if you sit in them, like, how does anybody see out the back? Well, they put backup cameras and all this kind of stuff in. Well, I'd like to sit there and be able to look around. So the way I've oriented everything is you can look back and you can see, you have good peripheral vision. Just the way the car is laid out and where the windows are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I tried to be, I didn't throw away practicality when I did this. It was one of my ergonomic consideration was one of the big ones as I went along with this project.
Right. And what kind of speeds are you looking at for this car?
Well, this car is. It's going to take roughly, if all the formulas that I've used to calculate these different scenarios, I mean, you can be cruising down the freeway at about 65 miles an hour. It takes about 8 horsepower. So it's you're very light on the throttle because there's very little wind resistance. So at 8 horsepower, you're not consuming a lot of energy. And ultimately, that transfers into, so you could build this car with 8 horsepower, but it wouldn't accelerate very fast. Mind you, it's very lightweight, but still, you know, doing about 8 horsepower wouldn't accelerate fast. But
so what we'll do quickly, we're just going to mm-hmm. have a quick break from our sponsors, and then okay. we'll talk more about the Zeleco car.
When 4 members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? and what is the best place to go for the care that is needed. We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, and welcome back to the Cool Project Show. Today we have Zoltan, our first guest for the Cool Project Show, who's actually designed a three-wheeled tadpole-shaped concept car. And we've just been talking about the future of transportation and fuel-efficient cars. Zoltan, we were talking about also your concept car. Can you give me an idea of how much, we've talked about how many hours you spent on the car. Now, the big question is how much money have you spent on designing this concept car?
Yes, that is an interesting question because when I began the project, I thought to myself, okay, so this is going to require more than just myself as far as being able to support it financially. So I thought, how am I going to do this? You know, I need to find some funders. And I thought, well, I'll just dive into it. Because of the Automotive XPRIZE competition. So I thought, okay, well, I'll start on it anyway. And I thought to myself, well, if I was going to go and ask somebody to donate money or become a partner in this project, if I showed them a piece of paper with a bunch of drawings on it and they would look at it and go, okay, well, you know, what have you done or what can you do or what's this thing going to look like? And I thought, well, that's going to be hard to convince somebody. So I thought to myself, well, I'll have to actually build something and work my way up to it. So I thought if I build the concept car, and then it's a vehicle that doesn't actually run, but it's all there and it's the full-scale shape, then you can take that representation of what the car is really going to look like and use that to showcase the project and hopefully find people that are interested in partnering with you to fund the project. Because like I was mentioning earlier, I've got just about 2,000 hours into it, and it's 4,000 hours to go. Well, your average working man puts in 2,000 hours a year. So if I was working on this thing myself full-time, I would be at least 2 years to completion. And you have to eat when you're doing that. So basically what I'm doing is, so far it's been a spare time project where I work evenings and weekends on it to build the car and use my employment to finance it, which is kind of tough because you don't really have a lot of extra money this day and age with the cost of everything.
Right. And so are you at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, so currently I have, pardon me?
Sorry, you apparently what?
I have basically $130,000 of my own dollars invested into it. And I figure the working prototype will be on the road another basically $345,000 remaining. You're looking at a completed project cost of about $500,000, just shy of that. Now, if you compare that to a lot of the automotive manufacturers, when they take a concept car and then decide to develop, sometimes they'll build concept cars and then they just scrap it. They don't even take it any further than that. They're just checking the audience to see what the response is. In this case, I will be spending $500,000, like I said, but automotive manufacturers, they can spend hundreds of millions of dollars developing a car before they bring it to market. So considering that, well, one of the good reasons that my costs are quite reduced is because I'm doing this on a limited budget in a chicken barn. I'm renting a chicken barn from a farmer, And I just converted the inside of that into my shop. And there my overhead is low, and I can putter away into the late into the evenings and develop my car.
Right. How big is your chicken barn?
It's basically 36 feet by 100 feet, so I got 3,600 square feet there.
Wow. And I know when I was there last week, you have some other pretty amazing projects in there as well. So we'll talk a little bit about more of those later. So in the meantime, so what is the next steps for you with the car?
Well, the main thing is to, like I say, it's all the chronological order in steps to develop this thing. So this concept car is basically, you know, a development model. So as you build it, you develop the shape and the ergonomics of it and the way the suspension is going to be and all this kind of stuff. So your concept car is, like I said earlier, my concept car right now is 27% developed. I have to complete the concept car. And once the concept car is completed, then there's molds that are made, quite elaborate molds that are made off of the body, out of which the actual prototype body will be made out of all those molds, just like the same basic process as the boat building.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I will be using a combination of fiberglass and carbon fiber to, you know, for strength and lightweightness, because that's the other aspect of the car. Not only is it teardrop shape, but the other concern is to keep everything as light as possible. That way, you don't have a lot of mass to accelerate. So when you start accelerating, it's like trying to push a train compared to pushing a wagon. It's a huge difference in energy required. So make it as light as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
When you talked about the molds and making those molds, how many pieces are there to make that car? Are there very large pieces, or is it made up of very small pieces put together to make that car?
Well, if my car was shaped like a brick, for example, then you could have a one-piece mold, and you just pull a brick out of it, and you're done. But because it's because of the teardrop shape, and then it undercuts at the bottom, and it's swooped at the back, and it's got these little fins sticking out and all this kind of stuff, the molds are going to be very complicated. So the molds are all made over the body, and then there are separation points where the molds all bolt together. So what you would do is you would make all the different segments and then bolt it all together, lay the fiberglass material into the molds, and then once that cures, you unbolt the mold sections and pull them off piece at a time, because they all have to come off at a certain angle, otherwise it's just not going to come apart. So the molds would be quite a complex arrangement as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the molds will probably run me something in the order of $30,000 to $35,000
just for the molds. Just for the molds. And then the glass as well, because that's a very unusual shape for the back of the car with the glass.
Yeah, well, when I was doing the design work, ultimately I would have had even a more streamlined shaped windshield, but then it drives the cost way higher. So I started searching around AutoRecords, and I, with a piece of plywood that I had shaped roughly to what I wanted for a windshield curvature, and I tried it in all these different cars, and I found a particular car that had the right, very close to the right shaped windshield. So I just ordered a new windshield from a glass shop. So I got a windshield that's readily available, and it's low cost. And the same with the side door windows. I just looked around for a car where the side glass would donate itself rather well. So that fits together with the windshield pretty well. But then the back window and the rear side windows are part of the teardrop shape aspect. So that is a custom-built window. So that would be where I take molds off of those off my concept car shape, and then those molds, they can make me glass windows at a fairly high cost. The original window or something like that from scratch building is, I heard the rumors about $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do that, then of course it becomes less as you go.
Exactly. And then what about the doors? Because it's not just going to be a standard car door. How are you going to envision the doors for the car?
Well, the way I've got the doors laid out, they actually come up into the roof, and they come back towards the rear seat of the roof. So when you open the doors, they're going to, they call it a Lambo style to a certain degree, where you open the door, it pops out, and then it starts to tilt up and forward. So the total door gets out of the way, and then you just you can get into the back seat because a part of your roof now is missing, so it makes the access a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And then is there, and you have like a gas pipe underneath the car, because at the back there's two tires that sit very close together. What kind of tires are you actually using?
Well, the tires that I'll use will be there would be a compromise depending on how the person wants to use the car. If he wants to be able to go and race around a racetrack with it, then you're going to want to have really high traction tires, and that tends to get in the way of efficiency because they're harder to make them roll. They tend to stick to the road a little bit more. Their sidewall flex reduces the fuel mileage.
Right.
So they make what's called a low rolling resistance tire. So it depends on the sidewall composition. So for the really high mileage, you'd want to have the low rolling resistance tires. Mind you, something like 1 or 2% improvement in fuel mileage. That's not a lot. There's a lot of small percentages that you can add to my basic 80% improvement from the general shape of the car with different add-ons with the low rolling resistance tire and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And basically with the car as well, is it going to be used as a standard, or is it like a standard drive, or like
the standard transmission is a little bit more fuel efficient because you don't have a torque converter and stuff that you're spinning all the time, and then there's also a lot of freewheeling involved with the torque converter and a lot of heat generated and stuff like that. So a standard transmission is going to get a better fuel mileage, but and it's also sportier. Like I like the don't get me wrong here. When I'm building this car, I was looking at building a hyper-mileage car, which would originally just be a little turbo three-cylinder, and then that would be capable of getting, up to 151 miles per gallon at, say, 45 miles per hour cruise speed. But, that would be about an 80-horsepower engine, so the acceleration would still be quite zippy, being the car is only going to weigh about 1,700 or 1,800 pounds. But to really prove a point, I've changed that scenario to the point where I would run a V6 front drive in this thing with about a 5-speed or 6-speed manual transmission and have in the area of between 300 and 400 horsepower, very efficient horsepower, mind you, and that would accelerate the car dramatically. I mean, it would, if you go to the website, you can see there's a comparison chart that I have on there that shows its performance characteristics compared to all these supercars. So not only is it an eco car, but it's also a supercar. It would accelerate dramatically. I mean, I have a 2006 Mustang GT that's 300 horsepower. Its horsepower to weight ratio is 12.5 pounds per horsepower. Well, the Zoleco with this particular V6 will be on order of 4.5 pounds per horsepower.
Okay, so what we're going to do is take another break, and we're going to hear more about this amazing car and some other projects that Zoltan has done. So right now we'll take a break and get a message from our sponsors.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
This is Michael Connelly inviting you to listen each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern to my show, Our Constitution, only on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And thank you from our sponsors, and welcome back to the Cool Project Show. And today we have with us, we have Zoltan, who's talking about his Zoleco car, which is an energy fuel-efficient custom tadpole-shaped car. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Zoltan, was what kinds of lessons have you learned from designing and building this car, and what would you do differently? What would you move forward with?
Well, I think there's a lot of stress there and inhibition in the project like this if you don't have the funding in your bank account when you start on it. In my case, I wanted to be able to show people what it was that I was creating so they can actually look at it and go, okay, that's very interesting. I'll get involved. So, of course, I went on it in a different way than you normally would without any money in hand. It's if you don't have the money in hand, you get a really good idea on something, but you don't have the money to fund that idea at a particular time, so you just put it aside. So it really affects your creativity. If you have the money available, then you can just sail with your ideas and without any impediment. So if there was any way that if I was maybe more confident in my abilities or whatever at the time, I would have possibly tried to find somebody to get involved in the project without actually doing anything on it yet, just get the funds in line. So
right.
that would be probably a little better way to go, but of course I didn't do that. So it just makes
right.
it that much more difficult, but it's a challenge, and
yeah.
I've accepted it.
Yeah. Now, what kind of marketing have you done for the promotion of this car so far?
Well, when the Illinois Business Consulting University got involved, they put the six students that were helping me. They did a whole bunch of research, and they looked at the segment of the automotive industry that actually is similar to mine, and like as far as three-wheeled vehicles and energy-efficient vehicles and stuff like that, and they discovered different things regarding kit cars, like as far as price points and what the market will bear and all this kind of stuff. So that's where we managed to work it out to where the kit car would be about just under $20,000, and that was a very helpful thing, and it's something that is doable at that point.
Right. And the kit cars, where do you hope to sell these kit cars? Would it be like an online, or do they have to go to specific stores that you envision?
Well, yeah, see, the I'm hoping that once the prototype is built, and that's what's going to be the promotional vehicle. Like, I mean, other than talking about a concept car, to actually have the prototype, then you can verify all the different aspects that the car has. And like, I've been to the Bonneville Salt Flats numerous times with the racing team. They had a 1977 Vega that they wanted to set a land speed record with, so they got me on board as their carburetor tuner. So we took that thing and managed to get it to go set three records with it. It started off at 249 miles per hour. I think it ended up over 252 miles an hour in a 1977 Vega. And it really, when you go there, it really shows the the benefits of aerodynamics, because that those cars aren't very aerodynamic. So once that thing starts to go over 200 miles an hour, you're pushing against a wall. I mean, you've got the throttle wide open, and the engine's grunting away, yet it's not gaining any speed. So that's where the prototype I would love to take to the Bonneville Salt Flats, and that's where it would really shine, because it would go, I figure on paper, it'll go 230 miles an hour with about, what was that? I think somewhere about 600. I think it's 230 miles an hour with basically the 400 horsepower.
Wow.
And compared to a lot of the supercars that are out there, like you take the Mustang Shelby, for example, I mean, they modify those and get them up to about 900 to 1,000 horsepower, and then they can, you know, they break into the 200 mile an hour area. That's a lot of power and a lot of fuel used. So with the aerodynamics of my car, I mean, the horsepower required and then the fuel required to go that same speed is dramatically reduced. That's where the car really shines.
Right. Do you see this as a vision for a regular mainstream car or one of those amazing weekend cruising cars that people love to have?
Well, you know, that depends on the psyche of people. Like, I mean, these being starting off as a kit car, and basically I would do the kit car format because that prevents having to spend hundreds of millions of dollars developing a mass production facility to be able to mass produce the cars to get the cost down. So in the kit car format, the people that are going to buy those cars they have a high skill set because they're guys that can actually build a car. Let's say there's somebody that's restored a couple of cars on their own, so they know the nuts and bolts about it. So now they would buy my kit. I mean, all the hard work is done. They get the body and the chassis, and then they would buy a donor vehicle with a suitable drivetrain that they want for their performance level, and then transfer that drivetrain into the Zoleco, and away they go. So that's where the kit car is a feasible first step into the approach. And then if it takes off, well, then there's, if there's funding available, then you can mass produce it. But, of course, that's all comes down to who wants to buy it.
Right, exactly. And where can we get more information about your car? I mean, people can go to coolprojects.com, but what is the website for your car as well?
My website is zoleco.ca, and that website basically covers the whole story. I've got the complete detailed chronological order of the development of the car, and there is actually a financial page showing the amount of money required to complete it, what's been spent so far, and all that good stuff.
Okay. And that's zoleco.ca is
correct.
The website as
that's
well.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, your barn is, your chicken barn is quite large, and you have some other pretty amazing projects going on. So can we just spend the last segment talking about some of the other cool projects that you have going on as well?
Yes, I've got a 68 California Special Mustang in there that's on the rotisserie right now. It's had all the quarter panels and floor sections replaced. All the rest was repaired. It's in a primer right now. And the owner of the car, unfortunately, was working the oil fields in Alberta, and he was laid off when the price of oil came down, and he hasn't worked for a year and a half, so that project's on hold, so it's sitting there on rotisserie. But as a result of that, my old 65 Ford F-100, the shop vehicle that I've had since 1988, was in dire need of being restored, because it's when I bought it in 1988, it was original paint. And I drove it like that for about 10 years, and then I just threw some paint on it because it was getting really, it was starting to show signs of rust. So I threw some paint on it just to protect the surface of it, but that was a very temporary thing. So when the fellow with the Mustang had no way of continuing the project, I thought, okay, now I'll take this spare time that's opened up, and I'll start restoring my truck. So I've disassembled it and been doing a complete restore. It's a resto rod restoration, like it's a radically modified F-100. It's 10 to 11 inches lower than the original ride height of the vehicle that would have been when it came out from Ford. And I put a 351 Cleveland in it with the 5-speed manual transmission. It's got a 9-inch rear end and stuff like that. And the box floor has been raised up 6 inches and building a different tunnel. Front suspension is completely different from the original Ford stuff. It's a radically altered pickup. I'm just over halfway into that project now, so it should be done. I was hoping originally to be done for my 60th birthday.
Oh, wow.
I'm coming on, somewhere am I? I'm at about 570 hours right now into it, and I haven't really, I've just been rebuilding rust and all this kind of stuff so far, fabricating new parts for it and whatever, and like dismantled the thing completely and did a bunch of frame alterations and stuff like that. I figure another 500 hours and it should be ready to go.
Oh, wow. And are you going to keep it in its original color, or are you going to do some different coloring on the paint job?
Yeah, when I bought it, it was the greens vehicle for a local golf course, and it was sort of a original Ford colors, which were, I think they were called Wimbledon White and a very light powder blue, and it was a very mellow, soothing color, and that's the color I'm going to go with. It's a very, it brings it back to its day and age. Yeah, the color will be original. It'll basically look original on the outside, except it'll be really low.
Mm-hmm.
And and it has an upgraded performance level, and of course that's not something that's really intended to get really good gas mileage because they weren't designed that way, but it's definitely a fun shop truck. I need it for picking up parts and whatnot.
Right. And you have another car in there. It was covered in dust, but it was a black. What car was that?
There's a 64 Galaxy Country Squire station wagon in the back that a friend of mine is just storing there. I'm not sure if he's gonna restore that car or not. He's very much into station wagons. So I'm just keeping it out of the weather for him.
Yeah.
Michelle,
the Zoleco car is front and center in your shop right now, which is absolutely amazing to see. Some of the things is when it comes to the fundraising, and we'll just make this short because we are going to be wrapping up soon, but when it comes to the fundraising, are you looking at doing crowdfunding as a solution, or what other ways are you going to do to help raise the funds to complete this car? We have about a minute.
Yes, definitely. I was looking at doing crowdfunding as a possible means of doing this, and so that's where I, the new website and all that is about promoting the car, just to making the connection so that I do have a bit of a fan base, so that time does come when I do the crowdfunding, and people know about it, and they can spread the word, and they can decide to help me out with the project or not.
Michelle, if you don't mind, I'm going to break in here and just let everybody know that they can contact you and Cool Projects at coolprojects@americaswebradio.com. That's coolprojects@americaswebradio.com. And you'll get the email, and then you'll be back in touch with them. And Michelle, I want to thank your guest, Sultan. This has been fantastic. Michelle, thank you for your first show. It was excellent, and very proud to have you part of America's Web Radio.
It's my pleasure, and thank you, Zoltan, too.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.